God body is simple. It means you see God when you look in the mirror, and that the body of man is God, and that there's no mystery God in the sky. You are God.
Hey, what's going on, fam? Welcome to the Anabolic Mind. My name is Mark Jenkins, and I have an incredible guest today. My homegirl. We go way back about, what, a year, Christy?
About 8 months.
About 8 months. But Christy is the perfect person to have on the Anabolic Mind, because she really changed her life and went into a fitness lifestyle coming from the corporate. And I think her story is so motivational and inspirational. Without any further ado, I'm going to have you introduce yourself and give a little background, talk about who you are. But this is my girl, mentor, and business partner, full disclosure, Christy Cool. Woo! Welcome.
It's so nice to be here. I'm going to try to keep this as formal as I can be. I know we like to have a lot of fun, so we'll see how it goes. But as Mark said, my name's Christy Cool. I live in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I made a big shift in my life, about 2.5-3 years ago, where I just knew that the corporate world was,
Before we get into the shift, let's talk about what you were doing. Give us all the PhDs and this, that, and the other, and the education, and, you know, how much of a boss lady you were in the corporate sector.
Sure. So, you know, I did what I thought I was supposed to do. You know, I grew up in the Midwest, and we know how to work in the Midwest. And so I worked my way through undergraduate and pre-med, and I wanted to mix that with business. So then I got an MBA and I settled into the medical device world. And so I started climbing the ranks through med device. I cut my teeth for Johnson & Johnson in the operating room, showing doctors how to put mesh in the body and certain little implants. And then I started getting into disruptive technologies, Da Vinci robot, 3D mammography, things that were first of its kind that revolutionized the way those particular procedures were done. And so I climbed the ranks, you know, rep, manager, director, VP of sales, and it was great. I mean, I learned a ton. I was around, in my opinion, I had the privilege to be around and train underneath some of the best of the best. But, you know, things-
And the money was great?
Money was great. You know, the financial piece was there. I, you know, growing up in the Midwest, I was seeing money that I had never seen before. Right. And so I was diversified, and that piece was great. But, you know, everything, I think oftentimes, sometimes things happen in life and it starts to shift for all of us. And for me, it was divorce. I went through a divorce and my job had nothing to do with it. And my career had nothing to do with it. But it was that thing that it was like the period of time that just made me stop and start to look at that area. I thought, well, shit, if I'm going to start dating again, you know, do I want to pick the same type of person? And I went down this personal development path there.
Wait, and I then got a question. What kind of shape were you in at that time?
I was at that time when I was thinking about making the shift or the divorce.
When you were killing it in the corporate sector and then the divorce.
I was not, and I looked good. I didn't feel good, you know? So I was not eating. I didn't have the right nutrition. I was not sleeping. I am a sleeper. If I don't get my 8 hours at night, I can pull it off for a day or two, but it stacks over time. So I was not sleeping right. I was not eating right. I was not taking the deep breaths like I should. I was not getting all my workouts in. You know, protein shakes and Red Bull were my friends, right? That's what kept me going. And I wasn't hydrated. I understand just how simple of a change that can be, just keeping yourself hydrated. But that's where I was, where I was 30, 37, 38 years old. So I looked good on the outside, eating all that stuff, but I knew it was going to catch up to me. And it was starting to catch up to me on the inside in terms of how I was feeling.
And how was your job fulfillment? Did you feel good about, you know, you were enthused about coming? Did you feel like you were making a difference with what you were doing?
Did you ever have you ever around people and then like you see their number come up on your phone and you just don't even want to answer it? You know, that's how I was with my customers. That's how I was with my immediate team that I worked with. That's how I was with the corporate folks as well above me. I just didn't feel And now I can put words to it. I didn't know at the time, and I had heard people say this, but sometimes you don't hear it until you're supposed to hear it. But our values were always conflicting. So I just never felt appreciated, respected. You know, I hate to have my time wasted, as you know. So I just always felt like, you know, all of that stuff was, that lifestyle was conflicting who I was and what I needed to feel good about the job that I did every day. At the end of the day, I was helping to save lives. We were the last position I had. We were, you know, catching cancers far before, you know, they became a problem. So that was a total game changer and a lifesaver. So that made me feel good. But the day to day, and that's what really, the grind was the part. And the people that I was grinding with was the part that was really breaking me down. It was grinding me down in the wrong way on the inside.
Right. Okay. So then you made this decision, right? And let's talk about that. You got to the point where, what was the straw for you? You was just like, you know, I can't, you know, I'm not with this anymore.
Yeah. So it was about a year before I made the hard stop. I haven't even told you this part of the story. So let's go back a couple years. So I would always develop the system in medical device. I figured out early on what the formula was to success. And so I had the formula to success. And then whatever company I'd go to, I would just insert that formula and it would start to happen. And so with that, in med device, you start earning these trips. It's called President's Club, President's Circle. It's like the elite. And the first year into this new job, I hit President's Circle and we're all celebrating. And
wow, first year.
This guy comes over and they had all had too much to drink. You know, I'm not a big drinker. And he had said, hey, this so-and-so's got a target on your back. You know, you're making too many waves in this company. And I thought, well, you know, I don't deal with politics, whatever. It was some rep in Georgia. Well, you know, fast forward a year later, this rep became my boss. And so I knew that I thought, you know what, I probably have a year to figure this out. You know, I probably have a year before, because I just take the politics.
Right. So you saw the writing on the wall, basically.
And for a year, it was great. And then, I knew I needed to get out. I knew that I needed to get out, but it wasn't until, you know, all of the wear and tear of the 15 years, I had just come back from a trip and I had picked something up. I had picked up a parasite overseas. And so I had to request a few days off to get this thing sorted out. And I could just see her starting to come in. And I'm like, all right, you know what? This is not the life that I want. I knew that I needed to give myself a year to figure it out. I really didn't figure it out during that year. I made a lot of money during that year. And then I just decided that I needed to step away because there was a reason why for that whole year I didn't figure it out, you know? And it's hard to be in the middle of that. Like, I just felt like I needed to step away to step into this other side of Christy, if that makes any sense. Because, you know, this other piece, it's hard to build while I was engrossed in an 80-hour a week work week. And it took me, I wanted to stay in there because of the money. So I needed to kind of step back and reassess and take some time to myself and then, you know, reemerge doing something differently.
Gotcha. At that time, how difficult was that as a woman in that environment? Were there many women? Were you the only woman killing it? Like, you know, were the guys mad at you? Did they talk to you? Did they hit on you? Like, what?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So, you know, it was fine. In this company, it was fine. There was a lot of women, you know, we were selling breast cancer. So, you know, going in the mammography suites, it was fine. But if you back up two jobs, I was like, you know, the fourth woman and the first big job that I had in med device. So that was not an easy place to be, being, you know, one of four women who were crushing it. But this past one was fine.
Cool. That's good. So you took the year off and when did the divorce happen?
The divorce happened before this. So the divorce happened like probably 2 years before all of this. And that was when I really, it's just funny how the way things work out. Cause I would have never looked at all these other like categories in my life. Like, what's my health and fitness like? What's my job like? What's my fulfillment like? If I wouldn't have started first with, how in the hell did I end up marrying this guy that this turn, you know, like, okay, let me dive into this to make sure that I don't repeat this. And then I started doing some Tony Robbins work. And then, we, you know, I kind of tackled that chapter of that type of guy that I was, you know, attracted to. And then I started going into these other segments that he teaches.
Okay. All right. So then what kind of shape were you in at that time? Was that your all-time worst shape or all-time, like towards the end of your career when you make the decision? Yeah, after the divorce, how'd that affect your conditioning and your health?
Oh, the divorce. So, so that it's interesting. So in the South, you have to be legally separated for a year before you can file for divorce, which is you know, the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. But I didn't necessarily grieve until I signed the papers. So for that year that we were, we were separated, I was in great shape. And then when I signed the papers, cause I just had distractions. I was VP of sales for a company. I was traveling all the time. Right. I was in my rhythm, but when I signed the papers, it was like, oh shit, I may never have children. I kind of had this woe is me moment. And then realized that I was in a city that I didn't know any, I didn't have a community. I had no community, and the people that were in my life were scattered and with little babies. So nobody was there, all my good friends. And that's when the darkness really settled in for me. And I drank more than I'd ever drank in my life. And you know what that leads to with the way your body looks. So that was probably the worst shape I had ever been in my whole life, was second to right before I left corporate America. That was not a good place either.
Gotcha. And how did you get into wellness from there? Like how'd that happen?
Yeah, you know, I was always obsessed with body image my whole life. So I always, you know, I outside of those two little like slivers of time, I always looked good, but I never felt good. And so it was, again, going down that path of looking at each segment of my life. And I thought, I just want to feel better. You know, life was such a push. I ran cross country in high school and middle school because I was competitive. I hated it. It was awful. My body felt awful every minute of it.
Right.
I did it because I, you know, there was a greater why out there. But I finally got to a point where I just wanted longevity, and I wanted to feel good, and I wanted to look good, and I wanted to be able to balance everything in my life without going, okay, you know, sometimes my body would look good, but then to work out that way, I'd have to then take 3 days on the couch sleeping. You know what that's like, those
right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I started, you know, at these people that I started to level up the people that I hung around with. You know, I started hanging out with entrepreneurs and people that had all these segments of the life that they were really thriving in, not just one, not like, oh, I'm a good dad, but my job sucks and, you know, my body sucks. Right. Like, I can do all these things. And I thought, I need to learn how to do all these things. So it was probably, we'll say 3 years ago, 4 years ago, as I was going, you know, down this big, big personal development path, that my wellness started to get to a point where it's sustainable, you know, and you know, a lot of the other stuff. I mean, it's just now it's just, you know, as we age and hormones are shifting or life is shifting, that just kind of, okay, let me get it back here. Let me get it back to this place. Let me keep growing. Okay, let me get it back to this place where I know I can still be the best of the best, because it's all a moving target at this point, right? I mean, you always got to be readjusting.
Yeah, you always have to recalibrate, readjust, keep moving, reassess. Let's talk about how you and I met.
Yeah.
All right. So how did you meet the Mark Jenkins?
I met Mark Jenkins. You're probably sitting like that with drinking that big cup of coffee. So I started my a room called What It Takes to Run a $1 Million Business on this app called Clubhouse. So, you know, I think when you're trying to meet new people and meet people like yourself, you got to find the avenues that work best for you. And just talking like this is very easy for me. The Audible apps like Clubhouse are very easy. And so we were doing a marathon room. Every one of us brought something, you know, to the table on different strengths. And we were trying to keep this marathon room going to set a record, because Clubhouse was just in its infancy. And somebody invited the Mark Jenkins in on a Saturday. And I was driving somewhere. And at that time, I made the brilliant decision to try to be a vegan.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I made the decision to be a vegan, and you know, about 8 weeks in, I mean, my health turned up. So I'm, as you know, I'm an ectomorph. I burn really fast, and so I ended up.
Hold on, an ectomorph, because people don't know what ectomorph is.
Oh yeah.
So there are three different types of three body types. You have ecto, mesmo, endo. Some people debate this and they say there's no such thing, but you know, you got to have a classification. So a lot of times they feed into others, and like, I'm a mesomorph with endomorphic tendencies. So an ecto is someone who's super lean, like Christy. Christy eats twice the calories that I eat. I have to diet to stay lean. She's ripped. She eats twice as much as me. If she takes off her stuff, you'll see. But well, you know, go on her Instagram and check out. She got her guns, her gun game official. Then you have the mesomorph. The mesomorph is the perfect body, the small waist, the shoulders. They can eat what they want. They really don't get fat. But unlike the ectomorph, they can build a muscle. The endomorph is more on me. As soon as I stop lifting weights, I get fat immediately. If I eat two good meals, like, I'll get fat. I'll gain 2-3 pounds by the next day. So, and people don't believe it, but my metabolism really is running that slow. But the plus with that is that you can put on much more muscle faster. Thus, I look like this. So every body type has an advantage and a disadvantage. I just wanted to clear up what that was for people, because a lot of people are not aware of what the body types are. But I'm always jealous of Christy and the ectomorphs, because she's eating like 2 or 3 steaks. I'm throwing down a little salad. You know what I mean? It's crazy. It's crazy. But anyway, go on.
I'm jealous of you, because like, it's a full-time job to prep food and chew it and eat it and just to get, have, do not look like a damn green bean. But so Mark comes in this room and I was just like on the way to the gym and it's playing in the car, you know, and all of a sudden he goes through that. And I was like, what's an ectomorph? Whoa, hang on a second. And I had, they only had time for a couple questions. And so I just said, like, listen, I got myself. So at the same time as I made the brilliant, so this is what happens, is like, this is why you need coaches and trainers, because you do. And then it's like, oh, I'm going to go be vegan. And then at the same time, COVID hit. And I took my workouts from 45 minutes to an hour and 15, because I bought this online program. I thought, well, this girl looks like this, and she's the trainer. I'll just do whatever she does. But I didn't know that her body type was different than my body type, and I couldn't handle. So at the same time as I cut out the protein and some of the nutrients my body is used to having, I up my workouts. Fast forward 8 weeks later, I'm upside down. And now my hormones, it threw my hormones into a wrench. So I was working with my naturopath, and I was depleted of everything. I was very tired. And then I heard Mark talking about this. And so I weaseled my way up to ask a question. It's how you do it in Clubhouse. You got to be on stage and ask a question. And he told me how he would have me work out if he was my trainer. And it was different, but it made so much sense. And it was also a way that would bring more balance into my life, because an hour and 15 minute workout for me is draining and it's a lot of time. So he had me at that. And so then I tracked him down from there on Instagram and
then we've been rocking ever since. But, you know, for the people listening and the viewers, Christy is an ectomorph. Her metabolism is running probably 3 times faster than mine. So what she did was became vegan. So she restricted her protein and then restricted some of her nutrients as well as her metabolism was racing. So within, what would you say, what time period did you start feeling a decline?
Oh, I felt it. Usually for me, it's right at 2 weeks. You know, I can hang with it for maybe 7 days, 10 days. It's like, probably shy of 2 weeks, I start to feel the decline.
Yeah, I got you. And I think it's important to harp on that, because a lot of people do that when they're doing their fitness programs. Instead of looking at their body type and what's going to work for them, they look at somebody's body that they want to have and start utilizing that training system. But that's not your body type to begin with. That's not your metabolism. So you really have to put some thought into your program design, your recovery. So when Christy got on the call, I was like, listen, you're already an ectomorph. You can't work out an hour and a half. You can't do more than 2 sets per exercise, because that's going to tap into your inroads. You're going to start to become catabolic. So I gave her some tips about raising her intensity and lowering her volume so she could actually leave the session recovering. So that made a big difference in her physique. We got to talking and collaborating on some business stuff. And Christy started mentoring me and started training me on getting my business stuff together. So it was a great relationship, because I was able to help her with her fitness stuff and she was able to help me with my business stuff. And we've been rocking pretty much for 6 months now, 7 months?
Oh, I think
almost a year. Is it a year yet?
I don't know. I think 8 months, 8, 9 months.
I forget. Yeah, about 8 months, but we met last month for the first time.
In person, yes.
In person, yeah. We didn't know each other. We just were online and FaceTiming, but we met in person in Vegas and had a really good time. at a business convention about a wellness-based product. And now let's talk about what you do now and how exciting that is and what a shift it is from what you did and, you know, what you have to say to women who are looking for fulfillment or perhaps not finding fulfillment in what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So first and foremost, his muscles are real. I've never seen a body built that way in my life. Like, there is no doubt that everything he posts on Instagram is 100% real. I've never seen somebody in that state. And I think the whole room was in awe. 51 years old, you are crushing it. You have it figured out. And you're such an inspiration to all of us. Seriously. So what it is that I do now, to take a step back again, when I was going down that path of trying to figure out what it was I wanted to do, and I was doing a lot of personal development, it was Tony Robbins that walked through an exercise, and he said, well, the first thing he said that caught my attention was success without fulfillment is the ultimate failure. And I'm like, that finally, sometimes I need to hear somebody else say it to give myself permission. And he said that, and I thought, that's exactly what I'm feeling. I got a lot of success, but I don't have the fulfillment. And so then he said, write down the things that make you feel fulfilled. And I'm like, walking in nature, being with my friends, traveling, rescuing dogs. It had nothing to do with making money. And I thought, oh my gosh, like, I can totally see why this is, I have such a huge disconnect and disease is setting into my body, because what I'm doing every day is not fulfilling me. And it's conflicting with my values. So I wrote down everything that makes me feel fulfilled, and it's pouring into people and watching them develop and being, you know, a bridge on their path. And so that's the end in mind. So what did I want my days to look like? What did I want my weeks to look like? Who do I want to spend time with? Did I want to be in an office every day? Did I want to work on my computer? And so the list that I came up with was that I wanted to pour into people. I wanted to help them in their journey of personal development and life, you know, this journey we call life. Like, I'm a hustler. You know this, Mark. I love money. I love to work, but I want to be around people that I love to be around and pour into. I don't want to be around some of these jerks that I worked with for years and years in corporate. And so a friend of mine offered me, first of all, she had introduced me to a product that helped me with my health as I was dealing with that parasite right before I left corporate America. And I noticed a big shift in some things that I was deficient in. And she offered me the business opportunity. And so that's what I've been doing. So I have a global team of entrepreneurs that are just looking to help other people like us that believe that we're meant for more, that want to earn their money in a different way, that want to step into more of their fulfillment. And so we all have businesses that we can do on our phone and on our computer. And we have customers and we have business partners, and that whole organization we all earn money on. So. But it's really kind of like a personal development company wrapped inside a wellness company.
I agree.
Yeah.
How did that change your quality of life? And you know what I mean? Like, what happened? How did that change you physically? Did your cortisol levels immediately go down once you made that shift? Oh, we forgot the other question. What advice do you have to women who are at that point where, you know, they're doing good, they're killing it in the corporate world, they're smashing it, but they just don't have that fulfillment? What do you have to say? Because I think that part's very important.
Yeah. So, you know, if you continue on the path that you're on, will you reach fulfillment? You know, and for me, the answer was 100% no, because I was working, you know, I love to work. It's a part of me. It's in my genetics. But if I stayed on that path, 60, 70 hours, there's not any time to do the other things that I love. So the answer was absolutely no. So the longer you stay in what you're doing, you know, the more you're just putting off reaching full fulfillment and happiness. So there's this thing called the Great Resignation that's happening right now. And so the world, because of COVID, again, I think whenever there's bad, there's always good. You got to look for the good. And what came out of people being home and COVID and not doing the hour commutes and not being around people they hated and spending more time with the people they love, they've realized that they don't want to go back to any of that. And so they want to step into their purpose. And we've seen a lot of our friends die and family members die of this. So now is the time. You know, the longer that you prolong this, the you're just going to slide back into habits. And that's another thing that I learned through all this personal development is you have all these exposures and these awakenings and sometimes some pain points, and you're standing right at the edge. If you don't jump, you know, you're going to slide right all the way back. And that whole process has to start over again of getting frustrated and being annoyed and not being fulfilled. So, you know, I would say to all women, take a minute and see where you are. Are you happy with where your life is? Are you happy with the job? Are you spending the time doing the things that you love the most? With respect to the corporate people, you know, it comes down to what are you getting out of the corporate world? And, you know, is it significance? Is it the job? Is it the car? Is it the money? Is it just that you've extended yourself? Most people live well beyond their means, you know, and I'm not one of those people. So I don't need a job. I have multiple streams of income. I don't need a job to keep me there. But that's not the reality. The reality is that most people have really even overextended themselves, and they don't even have 3 months of savings. So if you are not satisfied in your job there, I promise you, and I wish somebody would have said that, I promise you, if you can find something that lights you up, that makes you feel fulfilled, and you could be around people that you love making just as much, if not more money at doing what you're doing. So you just have to be willing to put yourself in a situation where you have a moment of courage to take the leap.
That's very well said. You know, I totally agree with what you're saying. You know, I joined the military at 17 in 1988, did the Gulf War. Came out, I was like, oh, I want to be a lawyer. So I'm gonna get a job in the post office because the military time continues. And when I started the military, I had these big man boobs and a fat waist, and the military got me in shape and all that, but I'm gonna fast forward to that. But I was in the post office working, and I already had 4 years in the Navy. So they were like, man, just keep the post office job. You'd be retired. You're only 21. And I'm like, man, I'm not gonna be busting down mail trucks for, and then going to college at the same time to be the lawyer. And, you know, I happened to complain to my gym manager how much I hated working in the post office, but I needed the money to pay for the college. He was like, dude, I give you a job. And, you know, gyms are paying like $8 an hour and $13 for a private. But I tell you, I took the job and I never felt so fulfilled having no money. And I was living in the projects. So it goes right on with what you're saying. But I felt good because, number one, I had some expertise in what I was doing. I didn't feel like I was just like a drone, like a cog in a spoke, like didn't matter. And two, I was helping people, you know, and those were the things that really shifted me over. And I feel so fortunate because at that moment, I knew I was never going back to having a regular gig.
Yeah.
Training was it for me. And that was maybe 1994. And I was like, you know, I don't give a fuck how much money I make. If I'm going to be poor forever, I love this. And I'm not going back to living this life. And that's what I did. And because of that love, I was able to turn that into something that was actually lucrative for me. But so I totally concur with what you're saying. And it's good to have different. And that's what I try to do with this podcast, is get different people from different walks of life to share their experience. But it's always that same commonality of finding something that really resonates to you and then expressing that. And that's how you find success with it. So you're so right on with that. You're so right on with that. But I got a question. I want to know what you ate today already. I'm always so jealous of how much she can eat. Like, to give you guys, I'm intermittent fasting, so I haven't ate yet. And I know she's probably hit like 3,000 calories already, so I'm always pissed at Chris. But what have you ate already?
Do you really want to know? You haven't eaten yet.
No, I haven't eaten yet. No.
Okay. So I started off with three big oatmeal pancakes. I made some pancakes out of oatmeal. I just put that in the blender, and I cut up a half of a banana and had a big scoop of, you ever had that nutso? It's like peanut butter, but it's all like a bunch of different nuts.
Chrissy, I can't eat any of that.
Okay, so I had a big nutso on it. So it's kind of like a sandwich. There was three pancakes and there was bananas and nutso layered in between. I don't put any syrup on. I do watch my sugar. And, you know, you told me to always just only eat like fruit after my workout. And I even noticed a shift in my shape if I do that. So I did that. And then, so that was probably, 6:30 this morning. I always start off with with that, and there, and I put protein powder in there. So I had some protein, and there's protein in the oatmeal. But then at about 9:30, there's these awesome turkey burgers that Fresh Market makes, and they put in them and a little bit of feta cheese. Well, I put a whole big one of those in the pan with three egg whites, and I cooked all that up, and then I put that over a piece of Ezekiel bread. So that was at 9:00, and then at 12:00, I had some turkey meatballs, and I made a salad that was kale and like chickpeas and onions and all of that. And then I had a protein shake. It's 4:30, probably. Let's say I had to do a favor for my neighbor. So at 1:30, I had a protein shake. And so as soon as we get off this call, I'm going to eat.
I know you're going to eat again.
I have probably two or three more times that I'm going to eat before. And it's like, it's if I don't do that, then I'll
lose. She disappears. Yeah, she does. I've seen it happen. When you miss a couple of meals, you actually disappear within that. Same thing as me. I get fat immediately when I eat a meal. It is so crazy how different the body types are. Like, I look at you and I know you for a while, but I can't get over you eating 2-3 times the amount that I'm actually eating. It's crazy. It's unbelievable.
With everything that I ate already, do you even eat that much in a day?
I think I'm maxed out at 1.5 of your meals.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. I think maybe 2 from what you're saying. I think maybe 2. That's like my total for the day.
So answer me this, because a lot of people are like, oh, you just need to suck it up, Christy. Like, you just need to get mentally stronger. If I don't eat, like, it gets used.
No, everybody has to.
I hang up in the middle of a conversation sometimes with you because I'm like, I'm going to turn into a gremlin, and I kind of feel a dip. That's why I always try to get things that are high in fiber, because that helps me stay like this. But those dips are hard for me to come back up on. But sometimes people just tell me that I need to get tougher. Is that true? Do I just need to find a way to get tougher?
Your metabolism is so funny. This was supposed to be a business. But we talk about fitness anyway. But your metabolism is running so fast. It's nothing about sucking it up. You have to eat, or you start tapping immediately into your muscle stores. So don't let anyone tell you that. Ectomorphs out there, do not feel guilty about eating. You're doing the right thing. And because your metabolism is running so fast, once your blood sugar drops, it's running so fast, you can't even eat to catch it up again. It takes you have to eat something high glycemic probably to get it back up again. That's very sugary. So you can't miss a meal. Whereas me, my metabolism is running so slow. I'm intermittent fasting. So I have amino acids in the morning, so I don't tap into my muscle stores because I'm not eating. But I train on an empty stomach. I may not eat until 1-2 o'clock. I knock off at 6, and I still have a crazy amount of muscle mass because my metabolism is running so slow, but it's very hard for me to lose fat, you know? Mm-hmm. So where Christy's having maybe a 3 gram of protein, it sounds like for each pound of body weight she has on her body, I have to have 1 gram of protein for each kilogram of lean mass. You understand the difference? Yeah, that's a big difference. So every time I speak to you and listen, I'm like, wow, that's really incredible. But, you know, it was the same thing with me. People kept saying, oh, Mark, you're bodybuilding. You have to eat to stay big. And I could never get cut because I could not burn the calories. And this is, you know, doing double, squatting 400 pounds and then go running 6 miles. Still didn't have a six pack. And I just had to accept the fact that, you know, this is my metabolism set point. And through the years, I've been able to speed it up by meal frequency. But I'm feeling for me, I get more protein utilization if I intermittent fast. So, you know, you have the science, and as a trainer, there's certain science that applies to everybody, but at the same time, everybody's physique is different. So I always encourage my clients. So I tell them, hey, man, I need to get a feel for how we did it. I had to get a feel for how your body works.
Yeah.
You know, and then I can really tweak it. But, you know, don't jump into things. And also, most people change their diets up too quick and their workouts too quick before getting results. They're like, oh, nothing happened in 2 weeks. But it takes about 30 days for your body to settle into your eating program and the working program that you're on. So don't quit too early if you don't see results a lot of the times. So it's interesting how everybody's body works, but you got to go with what you feel, because instinctually, I think people do know. Like you knew you had to eat.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And how about sleep? What are you doing now?
Oh, my peak, my best sleep is 7 3/4, 7 hours, almost just shy of 8. I've always been that way, you know, and I think it naturally my family's that way. But my father was a private pilot, and he took me when I was in high school to some of these these air shows, and he'd put me in these rooms where the pilots would talk about how important it is, and they would show videos if you didn't get enough sleep, like how you missed a cue or you missed another plane in the air or a mistake. And so I think the fact that it's just genetically, it's who I am. It's the how I run. My father's the same way. I take after his tendency, but then secondarily, he put that into my head, and so I have a correlation that I'd rather go take a 20-minute nap than have caffeine because it just recharges me that fast. So it's
Got
sleeping.
you.
I guard my sleep with my life. You know
Me
that.
too. Me too. Me too. What's your future goals? Where's KK going in the future?
In the immediate future, I'd say in the next 12 months, I'm selling this house. So, I'm very in tune to my own energy and where I thrive. And I'm going to be greedy and wait for the market to come up just even a little bit more. But I need to get out of here because I'm not, my energy's not the best. I want to be in a position where I have more freedom. So I'll probably go into, a flat somewhere, 2 bedroom, 2 bath, something that get rid of all this stuff. I have so much stuff. As I stepped out on this path to do something different, then I think it's important for people to recognize, like you said, I know my body, I know myself. Listen to what other people compliment you on. What types of things do you really like to do? And so, I do coach high performing people in sales. I still do a little bit of that. That's something that came after the fact. Again, when you step out on the path and you have the courage to leave what you were doing, the path becomes clear. I probably have a speaking gig every month from here until October. And that's something that's happened organically. But I believe, like you, the thing that was very attractive for me to you is you tell it like it is. You tell the good, bad, and the ugly, and that's what we learn from each other on. And your point in the past that you've overcome is probably something that somebody else is going through right now. And I love your vulnerability to share all those parts of your life. And I'm doing the same thing. So it's landing me things. And then, of course, I love to use my voice, and so I have a podcast that's launching here shortly as well. So that's everything that's going to happen, and the next podcast is going to come very soon. Hopefully, to have.
What's the name? Have you got a name yet? And yes, Christy's on Windjack, of course. Shout out to Chris, the big dog. What up, Chris?
So it's the Rise Above. So it's Rise Above, and so I think that it's. I think it's so important to everybody's going through a lot of stuff in life, and COVID has really helped people. I think be very truthful with that, and I want to bring stories to the forefront to share that no matter what, these people still rose. No matter what your background, you were able to rise above it all. And I think that
That's a great name.
what I do. Thank you. What I do every day when I find people who are not fulfilled in their life. It's stories. When you hear somebody else's story, that's what keeps you going because you're like, if she can do it, I can do it. Or you know what? That person's like me, and now I don't feel so alone. Even though you may not know her, you just got to hear her story on my podcast. But we know that stories are the best, one of the best ways to motivate, inspire, and also to teach people. So I want to bring all those stories of everyday people forward to motivate and keep others going that are in a tough spot.
That's what's up. And I got a question for you. When you start podcasting and doing your interviews, are you gonna cover up or are you gonna show the guns and flex? Like how you gonna wife beat her up or what are you doing? How are you doing it? Are you gonna be conservative?
Well, I'm always covered up. I mean, you kept saying like I had to send you my before and afters, but and I'm like, you see me all the time on Zoom, and you're like, you're so covered up. I have no
That's why I'm
idea.
asking you. That's exactly why I'm asking you. I think you need to just like halfway between the podcast, just flex for them one time, show them what's up. You know what I mean?
Whoa, so what's the benefit of that? Do you think all these people they're gonna
It's like
watch?
an emphasis. Yeah, it's like an exclamation point at the end. It's an emphasis. You know what I mean? You just hit them with a yeah, and I'm Christy Cool. Have a good day. Bow, and do it like
That's
that.
funny. All right. Well,
Yeah.
we'll try it, man. We'll try it. I'm all
Just
about it. I mean, I
my
don't
opinion.
You're helping me. I did post like a half naked picture on Instagram one time when my abs, you know, when your abs are just like, man, I woke up and everything was right. My body used all the fuel, but
sometimes you got to do it. You're just so ripped. You just got to do it. Sometimes you got to do it.
I thought, well, shit, if Mark Jenkins does this stuff every day, let me try it. It was crazy to see, like, I got more likes on that than anything else.
This is the first one that I've done with a tank top on. I've done every other podcast covered up, but I just wanted to let you know that it's okay to flex. So I actually did this for you. Yeah.
Why don't you show me how to do it quick? Why don't you just show me so I know what to do?
Okay, I got it. After you, right? You can wear something like that, like halfway through. And then once you finish, you take that off, make sure you have a tank top on and just go, hey, you know, I'm Christy Cool. It's good to pop those. You know, and then you rise above. Thanks for joining. And then you just sign off. That's it. That's all I want you to do. Put it back on and then you're good.
So you guys, you know, Mark and I are business partners as well. Do you have any idea how, well, first of all, we have a ton of fun. This is the real Mark and Christy, but yeah, it's very hard to keep Mark.
I'm trying not to start laughing right now. I'm
just like, you know, conversation, because this is the stuff he does to me the whole time.
But in closing, hey, thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it. You know, really. For the women, I think you're my third female, and they're all boss ladies. So I'm really trying to balance out my guests and have women on there who can speak to other women and motivate them. You know, talk to women about taking care of their bodies and their health and wellness and putting themselves first. Because the biggest problem that I have with my female clients is that the guilt they have in taking care of themselves first. So as a woman, you can probably, you know, reach that a lot better than I could. So if you could, please.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, full disclosure, I don't have children, but I coach women all day long that have children and they have careers and they have husbands. And so, you know, guess who gets to eat and take care of themselves last? It's always the woman. But if you go back to the simple analogy of like the airplane, and, you know, you're sitting on the airplane and they tell you, In the event, gosh forbid, that something happens and the oxygen mask drops below, they don't tell you to take that oxygen mask and put it on your partner or to put it on your children first. They tell you to put it on yourself first so that you have the energy and the stamina to, and the brain to figure out how in the world are you going to get out of this situation. And so I think you need to get around other women. First of all, you need to plug in and hear of other women that are doing that too, and hear the specific examples so that it gives you sometimes the permission to take the time for yourself and to get ahead of it and say, hey, honey, I need you to cook dinner tonight because I just, you know, I want to show up as, I would say, I want to show up as the best Christy Cool possible. You and these kids are the, and my job, whatever it is the most important thing. But just as I encourage you to take care of yourself, I need these things in order for me to do the things that I want to do for you and our family. So plug in, you know, borrow somebody else's method as to how they do it. Here are the examples. I always connect women together. If you're in that situation, let me know. I can put you in touch with a lot of women as well. But the guilt is a real thing. And I don't have children, but I'm a Virgo. So guilt is always my go-to. I always feel guilty for something. I work on that every single day. So, but know that at some point, like what happened to me in corporate America, I was hedging towards burnout because I was not taking care of myself. The same exact thing is going to happen to you. But hopefully you don't get there. In the meantime, you're just going to be pissed off. You know, you're going to be pissed off because you're not doing the things that you know you need in order to be you, your workouts, time alone. You know, I put a thing up, it's Valentine's Day yesterday, and I put a thing up on my Facebook and said, ladies, you know, tell the men what it is you really want. You know, because I think a lot of times we think that they know, but they really don't know. And the majority of the ladies that commented on my Facebook post were like, quiet time alone, you know, one night in a hotel by myself, right? So, you know, it's pretty telling that you're not, whatever you're feeling, all the other ladies are feeling too. So find somebody, up-level your circle, and be around people that are saying no and arranging their life where they can take care of themselves first. You got one vessel. You have one vessel. If you are not putting the proper nutrition in and you are not getting the exercise and the sleep, you are going to age so much faster and feel like absolute shit. And so if I haven't inspired you for anything else, let's go with some vanity. You know, let's
that's real.
You know, the breakdown away as long as possible.
Yeah, people always say, "Oh, Mark, you look so young for 51." But you know, I always tell them, you know, I stopped working at, because I don't consider what I'm doing work now. So I stopped working the gig in 1993. So I haven't had that stress. You know what I'm working. So, and that is what I believe actually ages you at 51, you know, as going through those years of working for jobs, you're not getting that. That puts more years on you than anything is getting up to that grind and you're not getting that fulfillment. So guys, Christy dropped so many jewels today, and you can get a word of mouth with somebody who's really bossed up on several different levels. And, you know, I appreciate your friendship and your mentorship and support. And I hope I helped you with that pec popping. I hope that was instrumental for you. And it works out for your podcast, Rise Above. If people want to get at you for any mentoring, how can they get at you, KK?
Yeah, the easiest way is to hit me. It looks like you have the banner going across. So that's my Instagram. Mm-hmm. You can just type my name in and it'll come up on Google. But Instagram or Facebook, they have the Instagram link down there is the fastest way. I'm always in the DMs. I work on social media all day. So happy to help anybody. Happy to help and give you whatever you think you need. If you want to do some trolling, always happy to help people on their journey.
That's what's up, Christy. Thank you so much. And I'm curious to see how many people hit you up for diet fitness stuff or business stuff. It's going to be interesting to see what type of contact you get out of this. But I thank you for being on. That was super informative and entertaining at the same time. I'm looking forward to your podcast. And Chris, can't wait to see you on Rise Above. That's going to be a good one, right? You got to get him on there first. He has to be your first.
Chris Ross.
Yeah, we got to get Chris Ross on there. But guys, we're going to sign off. Christy, you hold on. I'm going to end the outro, but we're going to talk afterwards. Thank you guys for listening, joining. Hope you got something out of that. And, you know, live an inspired life, guys. Take care of yourself. Put yourself first, especially you ladies.
This broadcast is brought to you by WinJack Studios. We are an all-in-one educational platform for podcasters that revolutionizes how hosts leverage content to increase engagement with listeners, downloads, and income. We come together to focus on community, collaboration, and collective impact. For more information on how you can interact directly with our hosts, access exclusive live content with offers you can't get anywhere else from our official partners, join our purpose-driven community by visiting www.winject.com. If you're ready to build a career doing what you love, then we're ready to see you there.